first thing is we don't want to miss the connection between that first reading from Isaiah and the gospel story. Isaiah predicts in really wonderful poetry that all the ills that we experience in the human condition will be rectified. And so the lame will leap like a stag. It's a kind of an exaggeration. Not just the lame will get up and walk, but they'll leap like a stag. And many of us have seen a deer clearing a 6-foot fence effortlessly. You know, it's a wonderful poetic image. And the mute will, they won't just speak, they'll sing, you know. So that's the reason it's Gaudete Sunday. And that's why we have the pink candle, and that's why I have a little bit of pink on here. The gospel then, Jesus says about John the Baptist, he has come to proclaim that Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled. What do you see? You see mute people speaking. You see the lame walking. You see the blind seeing. The various miracles that Jesus does in the human community, these are testimony that these are the end times, that salvation has come. The good news, the gospel that Jesus has come to tell people is that God is on our side, that God is already here, that we don't have to wait for some distant future, but it's already beginning. Just see the signs around you. Open your eyes and your ears and notice it happening. But there's another thing that I think is interesting about that second section of the gospel. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? In other words, nothing? You just went out there listlessly to see what was out there? Well, no, you went out there for something. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Well, yeah. The desert is two things, really, in the scriptures. The first thing is, and we've talked about this here before, the desert is that lonely, desolate, God-forsaken place where you meet God. It's the God-forsaken place where God is. It's the place of danger, the place of potential starvation or dying of thirst. It's the place where you have no protection. You're out there and only God can save you. It's that place of the wandering for 40 years in the wilderness where they were formed by God because they could not rely on their own resources. They couldn't go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. They couldn't go back to their oppressors even. They had nothing but God. And in the Old Testament, there's something always, in the prophetic word particularly, the desert is always a holy place. It's a revered place. There's something about the city that is corrupted. There are too many things going on there. There are too many distractions. You don't find God in the city. You find God in the wilderness. And so the Christian tradition is to go on retreat, isn't it? To retreat from the city, and most retreat houses traditionally have been out in the country, you know, out there where you don't have all these distractions. And strangely enough, monasteries are usually in the wilderness. They're out in the country. If you go to the monastery at Conception in Missouri, for example, you come up over this hill and there's this campus. You just can't believe it's out there in the middle of nowhere. Seminaries were always out in the country. The seminary I went to in Denver is now completely surrounded by city, but when it was built in 1903, and they have, you know, pictures of it, photographs, and it's just out there on the plains by itself. It was like 6 miles from the edge of Denver. And that's where we wanted to form priests, where they couldn't be distracted by the city, where they could really be on permanent retreat and be there with God and get formed by God. Okay, that's one aspect of the desert. But there's another aspect of the desert that is that strange, dangerous attraction to the unknown. There is something within our human nature, because we're formed in the image of God. We come from God, and we're going to God. There's something of the transcendent divinity already implanted in us. It's in our genetic makeup. And water seeks its own level. And so while there's part of our makeup that likes to play it safe and be cautious and be secure and stay in the city and stay among our close neighbors and our family, the ones we really trust, and there's part of us that never wants to go outside. But then there's that other part of us that likes the danger, that wants to go out and seek what's beyond, that can't be satisfied with the finite, that wants something infinite. And I'm probably taking this farther than I should, but you know, think of Evel Knievel, those of you who are old enough to remember who he not only was he kind of fascinated by the danger of all the stunts that he did, or Houdini, or any of those people, but we were fascinated watching him try to do it. We lived that danger vicariously through watching his stunts. Horror films, you know, particularly the psychological ones that are about this kind of psychological, deep-seated fear, and it's like, if we hate it so much, why do we go to those movies? Because there's something in us that kind of likes danger. Particularly if we're just watching another screen and we're not really the ones in danger. But I think the point of this is that there is something implanted in our makeup that seeks the beyond. And one of the things that has been identified by theologians in the 20th century is that humans seek ever new experiences. You know, we'll try this, or we'll buy this, because we just feel like we have to have that. But then we quickly tire of it, and we want to buy something else, or we want to do something else. And one theologian called that the beyond within. That's actually not a totally bad thing, that we're never satisfied, and we always want something more. Because it tells us, it teaches us, that we are made for something more. That we can never be satisfied with anything in this world. There's something of the otherworldly that is in our makeup, and we're always seeking that, even when we're not consciously aware of it. This beyond within, this beyondness, this transcendence, to use a technical term, this transcendence is in our makeup. And so there's something about us that is always going out to the desert, always going out to that dangerous place. And I think this is one of the reasons that the liturgy throughout all these centuries has given us these readings about the desert. And why the overarching story of the Old Testament is the Exodus story. And a big part of the Exodus story is the 40 years, the lifetime they spent in the wilderness. And Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And Elijah goes 40 days and 40 nights on a journey to the mountain of God. It's just, it fascinates us. And it also tells us who we are. Let's not be afraid to seek the beyond. Let's not be afraid to reach out to God, even though we don't know what God looks like, and you know, the future always scares us because it's the unknown, and the beyond experiences always kind of frighten us because we can't control them because they're dangerous. Let's fear not. Jesus, one of the big things he says is, don't be afraid. Have the courage to live your humanity to the full. Have the courage to express your faith by the reaching out, by the going to dangerous places, by the danger of spending an hour in the Adoration Chapel wondering what you're going to talk to God about for an hour. You know, how am I going to be quiet for an hour? What am I going to do? Just try it. Just reach out to God and let God catch you.